Today, we're answering a viewer question because Olivia B. asks, where did the word dunce come from and who came up with the idea of the dunce cap? The word dunce derives from the name of an extremely accomplished religious scholar, John Duns Scotus, from 1265 or 66 to 1308. He was an influential philosopher and theologian of the High Middle Ages. If you guessed that his ideas and those who touted them were somewhat unfairly, eventually widely panned as moronic, you'd be absolutely correct. Born near the Scottish village of Duns, from which he took the name, Duns Scotus was ordained into the Catholic Franciscan Order at St. Andrew's Priory, Northampton, England, in 1291. Over the next 17 years, Duns Scotus strongly influenced both religious and secular thought. One of Duns Scotus's most notable contributions was the idea that existence was abstract, but it remained the same for all beings and things, only differing in terms of degree. However, he was perhaps most well known for making complex arguments, and in particular to prove the existence of God and the Immaculate Conception. For instance, his long and detailed argument for the existence of God can be more or less summed up as followed. 1. Something, A, is produced. 2. It is produced either by itself, nothing, or another. 3. Not by nothing, for nothing causes nothing. 4. Not by itself, for an effect never causes itself. 5. Therefore, by another, call it B. 6. We return to number 2. B is produced either by itself, nothing, or another. The ascending series will either continue infinitely, or we finally reach something which has nothing prior to it. 7. An infinite ascending series is impossible. 8. Therefore, a simple, first, efficient cause exists. Given his detailed and genuinely well-respected analyses in his time, Duns Scotus earned the nickname the Subtle Doctor, and an entire school of philosophy, Scotism, was named after him. Important to the discussion at hand, Duns Scotus was a fiercely devout Catholic who even advocated for the forcible baptism into the one true church of Jewish children and adults. Along with his extremely intellectual form of reasoning, this strict adherence to church doctrine and teachings are ultimately what led to him becoming the namesake for dunce, despite the man himself being anything but. Skip forward approximately 200 years after his death, and in the interim, his ideas were still being widely taught and his work still well respected. That is, until the Protestant Reformation had reached England. Even before Henry VIII began the switch from Catholicism to Anglicism, the Reformation was tearing through Northern Europe. Further, the new thinking that came with the Renaissance had also begun seeping into the island nation. Nonetheless, traditional Catholics fought back hard and often relied on Duns Scotus's theories and way of reasoning in their defense of the church and its doctrines. However, many of the modern scholars of the late Renaissance saw Duns Scotus's arguments as hair-splitting and characterized his philosophy with the pejorative sophistry. Pro-Protestant forces seizing on this interpretation of Duns's philosophy began to characterize their opponents who followed him as dupes too stupid to see behind Duns's specious, deceptive arguments and slavish devotion to Catholic doctrine, and naming them for their hero, they became known as Duns, such as in Tyndale's parable Wicked Mammon in 1527, which said, "A Duns man would make 20 distinctions." Over the years, Duns with a capital D changed to Duns with a lowercase d and began to be applied to those beyond the spell of Duns Scotus, with one of two meanings. The first, one whose study of books had left him dull or stupid, was first seen in J. Lilly's Euphues in 1578. If one be hard in consuing, they pronounce him a Dowite. If go into study, they proclaim him a dunce. And I apologize about my pronunciation there, Old English not easy. The second, a stupid person with no capacity for learning, was first seen in F. Fine Anne Scottle in 1587. By now, in our age, it is grown to be a common proverb in derision to call such a person as is senseless or without learning a dunce, which is as much as a fool. Again, apologies for the pronunciation on the Old English. The present spelling of dunce was seen as early as 1535 when R. Leighton, in a letter, used the word to describe Duns Scotus's works. It was first applied, more generally, to denote a stupid person in 1611 in R. Cotgrave's Dictionary of French and English Tongues, Laudat, a son, dunce, dullard, vides, an old dunce, dolt, blockhead. Again, Apologies for the pronunciation. Not all has been lost concerning Duns's reputation, however, and he is today generally considered one of the most important philosophers of the Middle Ages. Pope John Paul II even beatified Duns in 1993. As for who came up with the idea of putting a silly pointed hat on the head of a person labeled as a dunce, well, this isn't actually clear. It has been suggested that Duns held that the wearing of conical hats aided in learning, with the shape being a symbol of learning, funneling the knowledge into the head of the wearer. This is not unlike abracadabra cones that have been used in healing since at least the 2nd century. Hence, this idea, supposedly championed by Duns, ultimately saw those mocking the dunces forcing them to wear such a hat. However, there appears to be no direct evidence to support such a notion, and the first known reference to a dunce cap didn't come about until the 1840 work by Charles Dickens, The Old Curiosity Shop, in which it states, "Displayed on hooks upon the wall in all their terrors were the cane and ruler, and near them on a small shelf of its own, the dunce's cap, made of old newspapers and decorated with glaring wafers of the largest size." The word dunce at this point had long been applied as a derogatory term for people labeled as stupid or having done or said something moronic with no connection to Duns or his work at all. Given the context it was first mentioned and later continued to be used for punishment for students, the idea behind it may well have had nothing to do with hats from Duns's time. It's simply a way to visually let everyone know that said individual had done something stupid or acted out via making them wear a silly hat that was easy and cheap to make. In fact, long before the dunce cap seems to have popped up, there was the dunce table, referenced in the 1624 play by John Ford. In this play, called The Sun's Darling, poor students were forced to sit at the dunce table. And now for a bonus fact. Francis Bacon, in his History of Life and Death from 1623, reported that Duns Scotus was not actually dead when he was entombed in 1308. According to Bacon, Scotus was suffering from an undiagnosed coma when he was placed in the tomb, and at some point he woke up, as shown by the wounded and bruised state of his head, by reason of the body striving and tossing in the coffin. However, modern scholars don't think there's anything to this idea. So I really hope you enjoyed the video. If you did, give it a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe. We've got brand new videos every day of the week. And if you're looking for something else to watch right now, we've got another video similar to this one. It's called What's a Tarnation? So if you want to know what a tarnation is, click on that video on the screen now or in the description below. And as always, thank you for watching.